This is the Peter Creek Presbyterian Church Podcast. Here at Peter Creek, we honor God by making more disciples for Jesus Christ. From wherever you are listening, we hope that you are encouraged with this week's message from Pastor Kelly Baldridge.
What a wonderful phrase to consider, rooted and grounded in love. Verse 17 of Ephesians chapter 3, if you haven't turned there, please do so. It bridges the gap between what request Paul first prays for the Ephesians and his next. He's praying that the Spirit would strengthen them, that they would be strengthened in their inner being, so that Christ would dwell in their hearts. So it would be natural to see that what is produced in the believer is love. The Lord Jesus is the Lord of love. Our Father is the Father of love, who has loved us with a great love. So the second request he makes, though, is that they would have strength to comprehend how great the love of Christ truly is. And so before he takes time to wax eloquent about the love of Christ, how wonderful and how unsearchable the riches of his love are, he reminds them that their whole lives should be based on the Christian principle of love. That is at the root, it is at the ground level, that it is the foundation. And so we've said he uses indeed two pictures to do so, a tree and a building. And so love is the soil in which believers are rooted, and it is the foundation upon which they are built. It is in love that you will grow as a Christian, and it is in love that the Christian life is built upon. And so it is this foundation that has our attention this morning. Now, this foundation is something that we see even in what Jesus has said, this love. In John 13, Jesus says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have what? Love for one another." This is the command of the Lord Jesus. This is the principle by which we are to live by, that we would love one another. And in fact, it's so principle that the way the world knows that we are Jesus' disciples, the way the world knows that we belong to him, is the love that we have for one another. And so God also has given us the gift of his love. Not only does Jesus issue this command to love, but then he gives us the strength to love. In Romans chapter 5, Paul says, "And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." So that Spirit that God has given to us to strengthen us in our inner being is the same Spirit that has poured the love of God in the heart of the believer. And so, no wonder that Paul would say that we are to be rooted and grounded in love. And no, love in particular. Not in belief, not in knowledge, but in love. And so, Christian, you are rooted and grounded in love. And it is this love upon which every part of your life is to grow. It is upon this foundation that every part of you is to be built. So let's take time now to consider this foundation. Let's pray. Father, we come to you and we come to your word. We ask that you would speak to our hearts and teach us and instruct us, Father, so that we may honor you. And Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name and amen. Hear the word of the Lord. "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Now to prevent, this is a quote actually I'm beginning with, just off of a great research tool called Google. To prevent natural forces from toppling them over, that is, megatall structures, skyscrapers, they need a low center of gravity, achieved by digging deep into the ground to find a soil sturdy enough to hold the weight of the building. For some of the world's tallest buildings, that means digging as deep as 85 meters, nearly 280 feet. Now compare that with the foundation of a house that might be 2 feet deep or even as little as 12 inches deep. So the foundation that you lay matters. If you want to build something large, you need a deep foundation. You need a big foundation. If you want something shallow, you're going to get something shallow above. You're going to get something small. You only build small because your foundation is not deep. A skyscraper built upon the foundation of a house will certainly not withstand any element and would topple over in construction. And if you want to build the Christian life that you've been called to, and your foundation is shallow, your foundation is small, then you will not see a great building upon it. And so let's think about what it takes to build a solid foundation. First, there's some things that you need to know before you build. Things you need to know before you build. These are instructions for laying the foundation. The first is what we've already mentioned in our illustration. We need to dig deep so we can build high. We need to dig deep so we can build big. If you want to understand the deeper experience of the Christian life, to know not just the basics of Christ, not just have a knowledge of him, but to actually know him, you need to dig deep. Paul is presenting something here in Ephesians 3 about a deeper experience in Christ. He is telling us that there is more to the Christian life than just the basic understanding of the gospel, that there is more to know, because it's not just a knowledge of Christ that he wants them to have, but he wants them to experience Christ. He wants them to know Christ personally. That's why he prays that the Spirit would strengthen their inner being so that Christ would dwell in their hearts. If you want Christ to dwell in your hearts, there must be a deep foundation that is laid. The heights that you're looking for, Paul describes. He says that is to know Christ. He wants them to be able to have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. Greater than knowing him is knowing him. Greater than knowing about him is knowing him. And so he goes on to say as well that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Not half filled, not a quarter of the way filled, but that you would be full of the fullness of God. That you would be filled up to the brim, overflowing with the fullness of God. Those are the heights with which we want to ascend in the building that is built upon the foundation of love. Now, how do we understand this? Well, Jesus really helps us to understand what it means to dig deep. In Luke chapter 6, he tells the story. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it because it had been built well. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. If you want to build a big house, one that will last when the streams and the rivers of life come tumbling toward it, you must have a foundation that is dug deep, built upon rock and not on sand, not upon a foundation that is without. And so dig deep to go high. The Lord Jesus makes it clear. Build upon the rock. Build upon something sturdy. Build upon something that will last. Build upon something that will make it through the trials and the tribulations and the struggles. But then also, we're to take our time in this building. Before you build, you need to know that you should take your time. In other words, you need to take careful attention to the details. Don't leave anything unturned. Don't leave anything out. Make sure you hit all of the corners. Too often we think that change in the Christian life can happen quickly. Some of us come to Christ, and some of you have come to Christ recently, and you come to Christ and you think, well, I'm going to be like him, or I'm going to be like her. They're these giants in the faith, and I'm going to be that way. But it doesn't happen overnight. You don't come to this knowledge of Christ where you know him overnight. It doesn't happen quickly, because when you build quickly, you end up building on a foundation that is weak. You build up on a foundation that is shallow. And that's often what happens. People will build houses and they'll go quick. And then when something comes, the wind or the storms come, the house is gone because they did not pay careful attention to the details. We're not to take shortcuts in the Christian life. The Bible tells us to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. It doesn't mean that we are to work for our salvation, but we work out that which we already have. But it says to work. It says to work. It doesn't happen overnight. There are no shortcuts to take in the Christian life. But instead, we look to Christ. We read God's word. We join together in the fellowship of the believers in the worship of God week in and week out, because we want to grow and we don't want to continue as shallow Christians. But our desire is to pay careful attention to our souls and to our hearts. And we center ourselves around the word of God. And we dig deep. Take your time. Dig deep. Those are things you need to know before you build. But then as you're building, there are certain things you ought to do. Every corner grounded in love. Here's what I mean by that. There are certain relationships that God gives us that we are to have love at the center. First, our relationship to God himself. The Lord Jesus is questioned about the great commandments, and they ask him, which is the greatest commandment? Which is the most important one of the Ten Commandments? And the Lord Jesus takes time to sum them up. And the first one is this: you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. If you want to build a house on love, it begins by loving God. It begins by loving him. That you live your life for him. That you love God. You love his ways. You understand that his ways are not our ways, but rather we look to him in everything. We trust him in everything. We hope in him in everything. He says to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. If you want to build upon the foundation of love, you first build upon your relationship to God. The Lord is not some distant figure. God is not far removed, but God is near. The Lord Jesus tells us he will never leave us nor forsake us. The Lord Jesus tells us that he will be with us always, even to the end of the age. And so what are we to do? We're to love him as a person, that he is real, that he is near, that he is close by. For if we draw near to God, the Bible tells us he will draw near to us. So love him as a person, but also love him as your father. The Bible makes it clear that those who are Christians, those who are believers, do not just call out upon God in the most dire situations. It's not only when we're in a situation of trouble that we call out, God, help me, God, save me. But rather, every day, moment by moment, we are able by the Spirit to cry out, Abba, Father. He is our Father. We're to love him as our Father, to know him as our Father who loves us. How do we know he loves us? Oh, he gave us his Son, didn't he? Secondly, the Lord even gives us this one as well, doesn't he? Not only are we to love God, but we are also to take care of our relationship to one another. In Mark 12:31, Jesus continues and he says, the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Love God and love neighbor. It's summed up very simply and easy for us. But as we build, these are the things that we are building upon. These are the things that we are to hold dear. These are the things that we lay when we lay this foundation of love. Our relationship to God and our relationship to one another. That brothers and sisters in Christ are to love one another. We may not agree with everything that we do. We may not like everything that we do, but we are to love one another. We're to love one another, no matter what. We may get upset. We may even sin against one another. We are to forgive one another. We are to care for one another. When any has need, we are to help them in their need. Love one another. And he makes it clear, one another. The world will know that you are mine by your love for one another. That when the world would see his disciples walking around and they would think, what is this? They love one another. They really care about one another. There's something different about them. My friends, we get upset, we get angry, and we fight, and then we never talk for years. But believers in the gospel, they seem to have disputes. They seem to have arguments. But then they make up. They love one another. Friend, do you love your brother and sister in Christ? Do you pray for them? Do you care for them? Are you eager to help them? But then thirdly, there's something a little more difficult. Not only are we dealing with our relationship to God, our relationship to one another, but also our relationship to our enemies. Difficult, yes, but necessary, absolutely. Love your enemies. How do we know that? It's true. Doesn't that ring a bell to us when we think about what Jesus has said? In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. You want to be marked out as one of Jesus's brothers? You want to be marked out as a child of God? Love your enemies. Love those who hate you. Love those who despise you. Love those who mistreat you. Love those who curse you. Love those who spit on you. Love those who would beat you. Love your enemies. He continues, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Friends, you cannot come here together with your brothers and sisters in Christ and say, I love you, and then go out into the world and say, I hate you. You cannot do it and be considered a child of God. The thing that separates us from the world is that not only do we love those who love us, but we love those who hate us. We love those who want us in the ground. You'll never know, friends, the love of Christ until you're on this foundation. After all, how did this love come to you? Are you quick to forget that while we were sinning against God, Christ died for us? Are you quick to forget that you were God's enemies, opposed to Him, in opposition of Him from birth because you've sinned against God? And yet, He loved you. So how are we to love our enemies? Well, we're to remember that when we were enemies of God, He loved us. He loved us. And this is the foundation that we are to build: our relationship to God, our relationship to one another, our relationship to our enemies. But then also, friends, our relationship to the commandments of God, to His commands. In Psalm 119:97, the psalmist says, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day." In Psalm 119:127, it says, "Therefore, I love your commandments above gold, above fine gold." Do you love God's word? Do you love the commandments contained in God's word? Do you love the law of the Lord? Do you delight and meditate on His law? Psalm 1 tells us if we meditate on His law day and night, we'll be like a tree planted by streams of water that will yield its fruit in its season. It will be strong. Not only are we to love God and to love one another and to love our enemies, but we are also to love God's law. By this, we know that we love the children of God. When we love God, John says, and obey His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. In other words, friends, when you think about God's law, do you consider it too narrow? Do you consider God's law to be too rigid, too difficult for you to abide by? Then you do not love God. Do you think that these commands that God puts in His word are too hard so that you will not obey them? But rather, you will do as you want, you will do as you please. And here's the thing, you can do as you please. You have the right to do that. You have the freedom to do that. But you will not enjoy the benefits of the Christian life. The way to enjoy the benefits of the Christian life is to know what Jesus tells us: if you love me, you will obey my commands. This is how we are to build. But then after the building has been built, or after, I should say, not the building, but the foundation has been built, after the foundation has been laid, we're to test it. And we're to test it for its stability. We're to test to see if it was dug deep enough so that it can be built high. And so, is it stable everywhere? Is it stable in your relationships to God, and your relationship to God, your relationship to one another, your relationship to God's commands and your relationship to your enemies? Does it vary? Does your love vary? Do you love only those who love you? Do you love only those who are like you? Do you love only those who look like you? Do you love only those who talk like you? Do you love only those who are easy to love? Or do you also love those who are kind of more difficult? Do you love those who are a little bit more stern? Do you love those who are sometimes ornery? Do you love those who do not look like you? Does your love vary? If it varies, when things happen in life, when trials come your way, when troubles come your way, when the winds of this world come your way, your building will collapse. We are building a stable foundation by loving those whom God puts before us, by loving Him. And so the question is, it's stable everywhere in all parts of our life? And then another question, will it hold up in those trials and troubles of this world? Will this love stand? Will it withstand a loss of a job? Will it withstand when someone belittles you? Will it withstand the troubles that you face at home? Will it withstand cancer or the death of a loved one? Did you look for a quick build and build on the wrong foundation? That same story is recorded in Matthew that Jesus told. And it's worth mentioning. Because he says, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on the house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Sometimes we're looking for a quick build. Let's just go ahead and build on the sand. Let's just go ahead and do this quickly. We want to get it over with. We want to get it accomplished. We want to get on with our lives as Christians. Now, let me give you an example of this. There are some who think, if I get baptized, everything will change for me. The Bible nowhere describes for us that salvation happens because of baptism. But some think that if I get baptized, then everything will be different. Nowhere in Scripture does it teach that. But rather, again, I mentioned Philippians, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works to will for His good pleasure in you. It is God who's working in you. And so for us to grow in Christ, for us to have a house built by the Lord upon the foundation of love, it takes time. The Christian life takes time. It takes effort. It takes work. Just as it does to build an actual building. There's some sweat equity involved. Reading the Scriptures, praying. And when you pray, don't just pray about your knowledge of God, what you know about Him, but pray to Him as one who actually hears your prayers and wants to commune with Him. Do not settle for rote memorization. The Lord's Prayer that we pray is dangerous when we only pray it and think that that is what we are to pray. But what the Lord Jesus has done with the Lord's Prayer is given us a pattern of prayer, that we begin with this adoration of God, that we confess our sins and our dependence upon Him, that we give Him thanksgiving for what He has done, and then we give Him our request. That we are to take time to pray to the Lord and never ask a request and simply just give Him honor and glory and praise. That we come to Him in our times of trouble, and rather than even bringing those up, we learn to just rejoice in His goodness. And there is joy in the Christian life. There is kindness in the Christian life as we consider His love for us. And so what are we to do, though? How are we to do this? This is a convicting sermon, perhaps, for all of us. It should be. Is it stable? Is the foundation that you're building, is it stable? Will it hold up? If no, what are you to do? Are you to go back and build upon God's love for you? Not only is He speaking of the love that we have, but there is something to understanding God's love for us. The way to love more is to know God's love for us. The way to make sure our foundation is stable and that our foundation will hold up in the trials and troubles of this world is to know the one who has loved us. So brothers and sisters in Christ, if you are weak and weary, and you are concerned that the foundation that you have laid is not a solid foundation, I commend to you to go back again and look at the Lord Jesus Christ and see what he has done for you. Understand what the Father has given for you. What love is that the Father would give his own Son, the Lord Jesus? That the Lord Jesus would love you enough to lay down his life for you. And that the Spirit would love you enough to cause you to be born again so that you would know this great love with which you've been loved. And so if you want to build a solid foundation, grounded on love, go back to the love of God and consider it. Martin Lloyd-Jones has helped me these last 2 weeks in these sermons on the grounded, and then also last week when we spoke of love being rooted. He said this: nothing but a deep love to God can stand up to the trials and the stresses, the hazards and the strains of life. A deep love of God. Christian, do you have a deep love of God? Let's pray. Most gracious Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Father, we hear that we need to have a deep love for you. But too many times we settle for the things of the world. Too many times our love for you is constrained because we love the world and the things in the world. Too often times, Father, we put other things that we love in front of our love for you. But the order is true, isn't it, Father, that we are to love you first. And so, Father, help us. Help us as we build this foundation. Help us as we build upon this foundation. Lord, let us make sure that the foundation that has been laid is stable and will hold up. And so, Lord, remind us again and again of your love for us in Jesus Christ. And we pray this in his name and amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message. If God has used this message to influence you, or you would like more information about our church, connect with us on the Peter Creek Presbyterian Church Facebook page. Remember to subscribe to hear more messages from Pastor Kelly Baldridge.